Hey, good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Jack. How about you?
I am fantastic, too, because it's such a great day here. I savor these days. 70 degrees, sun shiny, birds are chirping. I mean, what more do you want, you know? It just makes you feel good. In Cleveland, you don't get too many days like this.
It's hard to be in a bad mood with all those things you just laid out, Jack, right? Those are good stuff.
It is. Especially the birds. I've noticed birds more lately. Maybe as you get a little older, you start to see things. See and hear things a little differently. There's a lot of them around. Holy crap.
Yeah, if you slow down and enjoy them, like, you know, this time of year too, you can sleep with the windows or, you know, open as well. And early in the morning and late at night, you hear the birds too. It's kind of peaceful to hear them out there singing and talking to each other. What's kind of going on, you know? To hear a few fights and they get after each other, right? That happens sometimes too, but not as much.
we'll have to talk to a bird watcher expert and tell us what we're hearing. You got apps too that you can pick up the bird sound and then it'll tell you what kind of bird that is. That'd be pretty cool. Well, actually, I got it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's on there. You don't have to download it. I don't know.
Technology is a wonderful thing, Jack. It can help in so many facets of our lives. To add to it, if we embrace it in the right way,
it can be, Adam. It can be, and then again, it can't be. Maybe it can be, but it not always can be, depending on the operator. Now, between you and me, you can get a lot more can be's than I can. That's for sure.
Yeah, we know operator error usually is where things go down. It's like when you go to the geek squad and they just kind of shake their head and smile at you, right? It's like, okay, right.
You know. I often wonder what they say after I leave, you know.
Well, it's part of the fun, you know. If we can be stories for people like that, it's good. You know, help to brighten their day a little bit too, Jack. Right. You're not gonna believe what I saw today or what somebody asked me today. Okay, that's good. So it helps make their days go by faster too. So it's positive.
Yeah, he asked that question with a straight face, too. It was hard not to laugh at him.
Yes.
Struggle. Well, we don't have any struggles when we're doing our business coaching with Maximum Value Partners, do we?
We have lots of entertaining times, too. But yeah.
Well, in our almost 20 years of working together, we've come across a lot of situations. And today we want to talk about the situation that when it first came up, it blindsided us. Since then, it's come up a few times. When it does come up, it usually does blindside still. So you can't see some of these things happening. And what I'm talking about is touching the third rail. You don't want to do that. And what do I mean by the third rail? You know, electronic subway systems and the like have tracks that are laid down to run on. You don't want to be in the middle of those tracks, as I understand it. It's touching those middle tracks, depending on how you're on those tracks. But if it's your feet and you're probably not going to live too long after that.
You're going to get a little charge. A little charge
will zap you.
A little electrocution your way, right.
So as they say, you don't want to be touching the third rail. So it's a metaphor for some of these situations we get in with the owner of a company, moving right along, and all of a sudden the relationship blows up. It blows up because we've touched the third rail in that company. Right. And, you know, either, you know, one of the children were, you know, inept, and we said as much to keep moving the ball forward. The old man agreed with it, but not so much the mother, who wasn't even part of the regular discussions, you know, and coaching meetings. But all of a sudden, we hit a nerve with her, and wow, she just exploded, just jumped in, and everything was annihilated, including us. Right. You know, how dare you do that with my son? You know, he's blah, blah, blah. He's this and that. Hey, wait, where'd that come from? You know, we asked now very diligently multiple times, when we're taking on a new client. Are there any sacred cows in this situation here? They'll look at each other, to look at us. What do you mean? You know, a favorite son, something we can't talk about, something you haven't talked about that's going to upset people. Just try to make sure that what we're going to do, you know, isn't going to be confined to anything. In other words, do we have the authority to talk about anything in this company? That's the way we like to do it, because that's where the best outcomes come from. But if we can't talk about grandma over here who's keeping the books and life is moving way faster than she's able to keep up with, and if we bring that up, all of a sudden the daughter gets pretty upset and the whole atmosphere changes, the whole relationship changes. So how do we avoid that? How do we survive that? Because as I said, they're usually blindsiding us. One way or another, they come out of nowhere. We thought we've taken precautions and cleared that base, and all of a sudden, no. Maybe when the real world hits the fan, basically, no one on the other side was prepared for it. So,
right,
that's what happens.
Well, it's one of those areas, Jack. I think we see it more in certain circumstances, and I think in particular, we often will see it when it comes down to the transition of a business from one generation to the next, where those things will often rear their heads because maybe it's because they haven't been dealt with more in the day to day, where some of those discussions haven't been had, or they haven't been thought about it. People have been afraid. Maybe they've been aware that those third rails exist and they're avoiding them, right? Because they don't want to be the ones that get electrocuted and get ejected out of the organization, so, you know, so to speak, or get put in the bad spot in the organization, you know? So when it comes to that transition piece of it, it's that final time, like, hey, we have to address these things. Right? If we aren't addressing them now, when do we address those things? And sometimes it starts with just being aware of it. To your point, Jack, if you're not aware of it, and here you are, you know, fat, dumb, and happy walking down those tracks, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, what does this thing do? and you grab that third rail.
Touch, boom. That's right.
Oops. So, again, first of all, just kind of being aware that those things exist, and trying to figure out, you know, which ones exist, and, you know, which ones could be those potential third rails, because they exist in every situation. It's a matter of how they've been addressed, how the company's handled them in the past. But there's some unusual ones that will come up, especially when it comes to a transition, Jack. And one of the first ones we found was, and we've talked about this a lot on this show, Jack, in terms of what do you do after you leave the business? Whether you're retiring from the business, you've sold it, you know, you've transitioned to your next generation, whoever it might be, but you're leaving the business. So what happens to you as the owner? And what are you gonna do next? What is retirement? You know, that awful word of retirement. What does that look like for you? You know, what is that going to be happening? And that's a big one that's often not talked about because, again, it's almost presumed that, well, who wouldn't want to retire, Jack, and just take some time off and get away from all the hustle and bustle? I mean, who wouldn't want to just do that?
Well, people don't prepare to prepare. They don't give a lot of thinking to retirement until it starts to come up on them. And then they find that they can't find much direction and help with retiring. They talk to their friends and their friends aren't generally happy. Some people, I'm going to say most people aren't prepared for retirement. And they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to retire. That's a big deal, Adam, you know?
Well, what does it mean to retire? And so, again, I'll look back at maybe some of the older generations. So my great uncle, you know, worked in the steel factory for U.S. Steel, and he was working in the, you know, where he'd lose 20 pounds a day because he's working in the, you know, in 500 degree temperatures. And so it was physical hard work. And so after 35 years of doing that, Jack, and, you know, by age 55, he was ready to retire. You know, he was broken down and he just wanted to just to relax. But he spent a bunch of time gardening and doing, he had other hobbies and things that he just loved to do. And he lived for another 30 plus years, retired, very happy. You know, he just kind of was enjoying what he was doing. And so when you have folks that work jobs, and we talk about that a lot on the show, Jack, in terms of the job versus the business owner mentality of stuff. And so when you have a job and you're working for somebody else, you know, the idea of getting away from that somebody else, okay, and just be able to have, you know, freedom to do what you want when you want. I think that's often what people maybe are dreaming about. But I think to your point, Jack, many folks don't even know what does that look like? What does that mean? Or, you know, until they're there, which is almost kind of too late. Okay, you know, what do you do about it? You know, so and if you've talked to anybody who's recently retired or in the last couple of years, I think a common phrase you'll hear from them is, "Hey, you know what, Jack? I'm busier now than I was when I was working. I mean, I don't know where the time goes. You know, the days just get filled up with stuff." And okay, and so those kind of phrases, when you're talking to a business owner, to an entrepreneur, aren't very attractive. Because keep in mind that, you know, what the owner typically is doing day in and day out is they're kind of doing what they want to do. All right. They're working for themselves. They're having fun to a certain extent in terms of what's kind of going on. So if you have to leave that, that's not necessarily viewed as a relief, right? Or, hey, I'm finally able to get away from whatever it's going to be, right?
It's, no place to go, right?
Yeah.
No place to go.
It creates angst and stress. And okay, well, if I've been coming to this place for the last 10 years, last 30 years, Jack, okay, well, if I can't come to this place, what do I do? And we've seen that before. You know, I had a friend years ago where they did a lot of this planning, you know, and they had a transition, you know, plan in place for, I think it was 5 or 7 years. And, you know, things went really, really well. And they had a big celebration on Friday and, hey, it's been fantastic. And he comes in Monday morning and before he gets to his office, secretary says, "Hey, by the way, your dad's here." He says, "What do you mean, you know, dad's here?" He's like, "Well, he's in his old office." This is, "What do you mean?" Right? So he said, "I had to take my dad to lunch," and say, "Dad, what are you doing?" You know, because, well, first of all, he called his mom. He said, "Mom, why is dad here?" She said, "Honey, he didn't know what else to do. He didn't know where else to go. So he came there." He goes, "So I had to take my dad to lunch and say, Dad, you know, you can't come in." You know, again, we kind of talked about this, and he said he didn't know where else to go. He said, "Look, you have to understand what happened. So if you're here, you know, one of the biggest challenges for that new owner is to have the old owner hanging around, because it's very confusing for the team, right? The team wants to know who's in charge. And so they're trying to figure out, well, who am I looking at for direction and who do I believe?" And much like kids with parents, they'll listen to the parent who's telling them what they want to hear, as opposed to this, what the right thing is that the parents agree upon. They're looking for the answer that they're looking for, right? And so it can be very confusing for those folks and just kind of getting in the way. And they don't want to do that. But yeah, to your point, Jack, I got nowhere else to go. So what do you do?
The physical location, in that sense, it seems very innocent from the dad's viewpoint, but it isn't. You know, if he's parked in a corner office, he's the guy in charge, no matter what the son says. You know, you have to generally stay away, and you have to be cognizant of the fact that two people can't be sitting in the CEO's chair or the owner's chair. And it comes about because, again, there's been no real serious thinking about retiring. What do I do when I can't go in here again? Holy crap. That's a big scary thought for a lot of men or women when they retire. But how does that affect the third rail? What is that? Well, that's called the third rail. How do we survive around that?
Well, yeah, it's one of those third rails, because the question is, well, how do you kind of bring that up, Jack? So here you are, the next generation, and you're thinking, okay, well, hey, I know we got to start having these kind of conversations in terms of what's kind of going on. And so, you know. If mom's the boss here and we want mom to leave, okay, well, how do we bring that discussion up without mom feeling like we're pushing her out of the way, like trying to get her out of here, right? So how do we kind of bring that up? And it comes down to, well, what does she want to do? What does she want to do? That's a very easy question to ask, Jack. Well, what do you want to do, right? And it can be very, very tough to answer, because to your point, Jack, they haven't necessarily been wrestling with this idea in terms of what it's going to look like. And so there are options, and we've seen this work too. We're going, if somebody wants to have some place to come, you know, to come to work and to do stuff, and we've had this happen with clients of ours as well, where the former owner will hang on in a certain role, a very, very defined role. And that's where it becomes very key. So, okay, so hey, if you're going to stick around, well, you're going to stick around doing what? And you know, what are you doing, right? Maybe there's some key relationships that the current owner has that they want to kind of still be involved with. Or maybe they're very active. Maybe they're part of the face of the company when it comes to, you know, to some of the marketing activities or something like that. Or maybe they have some certain knowledge or expertise that hasn't been transferred yet. But if they're going to stick around, the idea is, okay, what does that look like? But we want to talk about, so what do you want to do? Do you want to stick around in a reduced role of some type and kind? And what does that look like? Or do you want to leave? So, I mean, so the idea here is you want to start these discussions. You want to get these discussions started.
That's the key. Yeah, you got to be talking. You got to be direct, too. You can't keep, you know, floating around in the clouds here. It's a serious thing to consider. And if it hasn't been considered, then that's problematic right there. And if you can't talk about it, then who's kidding who? You know, the transition is going to be fraught with frustration and miscommunication. And so I think the biggest word for this, Adam, and we're talking more so transitions, the biggest word they basically have to have is direct discussion. That's two words though, isn't it?
That's okay. Well, and there's not a right or wrong way to have it. I mean, again, the idea is you want to kind of bring it up. And so, you know, it's often the stressor hanging in the air. And so who's going to bring it up first in terms of, okay, so if we're talking about a transition, okay, well, what does that look like? So, hey, mom or dad or whoever, so what do you see is, you know, once the transition's complete, what do you see happening? What do you see you doing? What do you see me doing? What do you see?
Yeah, talk about it. Talk about it years, ideally years in advance, but certainly, you know, 6 months to a year minimum. You have to be talking about who's going to take over the company and who's, you know, I've been grooming my son to do this, and okay, that's fine. It's been talked about. Everyone's happy with it. No problems. It's those early stage discussions that are difficult to get going. But if they do get going and you confirm the basic parameters, like I do want to move on, I do want to have my son take over the company. He's been working in the company now for 2 years and he's shown great great potential, and okay, it should move smooth. No third rails there that we can see. But all of a sudden, we've been in situations where we inadvertently touched the third rail. Apparently, because there was an explosion down the hall, you know, like, how dare you do this? This is my mother. This is my son. Well, what do you want to do? Right. What do you say?
Well, it gets very emotional very quickly. To your point, and people will address those emotions differently. Some might just shut down. It's okay. We aren't having that discussion. And again, it can be very touchy when you're talking to the current boss where it's like, hey, don't push me. Like, again, as the owner, they aren't often used to being pushed, especially by their people. Maybe they're pushed by their customers or vendors and that, but in terms of internally, you know, they're the king or the queen, right? I mean, so they aren't used to people pushing them around a little bit and saying, well, hey, so, okay, this transition thing. Okay. So what does that kind of look like? And, you know, what do you think you're going to do after you leave here? What is, if they're using the word retirement, so what does retirement look like for you? So if you're like many owners, many owners don't have too many hobbies, Jack, or other outside interests. The business is their interest quite often, and it often dominates their time and their thinking. And so, what are they looking to do? You know, maybe they enjoy traveling, or you know, maybe they enjoy playing golf or other things like that. Or yeah, it's like, okay, so one of the things that you can try is you try to encourage them to do a little bit more of that before they officially leave in terms of what's kind of going on. So maybe go travel for a couple weeks or a couple months at a time and kind of see what it's like. Because often what happens, Jack, is we have these things in our mind in terms of the way we see them in our mind's eye, and then they become reality and they're very different in reality in terms of how things are. And so until you've tested them out, you know, try playing golf every day for a month. Even if you love the sport, to play golf every day for a month can get kind of boring and tiring.
Sure. Anything repetitive like that.
Picture doing that for 20 years, Jack. And as you've told me numerous times, you don't get better as you get older, right? So here I am going to spend every day for the next 20 years doing something I'm getting worse at. And I'm not really enjoying it that much after the first month. I got to do this another 20 years. Wait a minute.
How's it going, Adam? Oh, man, it's great. You know, I'm out in the sunshine every day. And I love what I'm doing. That's, they aren't honest about it most of the time.
Right.
So you don't get a good insight, you know. But yeah, what do you do if you don't have hobbies, you don't have interests? Maybe you go into politics. That's what you do.
Well, there are lots of third rails in politics, Jack. In fact, I'll include a definition here as part of our notes when it refers to the third rails of politics being those issues that people don't take on because they know that they aren't going to survive it. You know, no matter what they do or whatever stance they take on it, it's one that everybody shies away from.
Everyone tries to avoid it. They that's why so much of these things don't get done. It's very frustrating on all ends. But that's a good point, Adam, because it depicts what happens when you have to approach these discussions. They're very difficult to have in many, many surroundings. Many families just don't talk about those things. So nothing's done. No work is done. No mental preparation is done. So it's, touching the third rail, explosion in the company. Uh-oh. So somebody said.
Right. Well, one of the key things to help with this, Jack, can often be having a third party involved. You know, certainly a trusted third party helps. Where, you know, is there somebody who has the owner's ear? Who, you know, maybe he's been an advisor for him for a while.
That's key if you can find it. Sometimes there isn't any. In fact, many times there isn't any, at least that we can have access to.
And so if there isn't somebody like that who's kind of that trusted source, it's certainly helpful to have some sort of facilitator, though, to kind of come in and just make sure that the right questions are being asked and I don't say people are playing fair, but again, people are kind of having these discussions, you know, where they're truly kind of working on it, because it's not that necessarily that they don't want to have the discussions. They just aren't sure how to have them. Or it's tough to be vulnerable, especially as an owner. It's tough to be vulnerable and say, I don't know. Right. Or that's not what I want to do. Or I'm not sure. You know, those are uncomfortable positions to be in as an owner, where you're supposed to have all the answers, or at least that's the impression everybody has, that you have all the answers. Well, chances are this is going to be, unlike many things in your life or career, this will be probably the one time you do something like this, where you walk away and transition your business to somebody else. And so all of a sudden you kind of put this pressure on yourself. Like, I got to do it right, Jack. I have to do it. You know, I can't make any mistakes, or, you know, I don't get a do-over. And so it's kind of, it's putting all of those kind of wrong pressures about it. And where we talk about the idea of having someplace else to go in terms of what's next. And, you know, the idea of, you know, retiring to something, I think I've shared this story before on the air, but I'll share it again because it's coming to mind right now. I had a good friend who in Rotary who was in the Navy back in the 50s. And he mentioned, you know, there were a couple guys he worked with in the Navy who were the gunnery guys. You know, they're on the back of those ships with those gigantic guns. That's what they did for 20 years. And so these three guys all did their service, you know, their 20 years of service. And when you're in the military like that, you can retire after 20 years. So at the very ripe age of 38 years old, all these guys retired. And they retired to their back porches. All right. They just kind of retired. And I remember just like this happened yesterday. This guy told me the story 15 years ago. He's paused. He looks at me right in the eye. He says, every one of those three were dead in 2 years. He said, the lesson for me at a very young age was you need to retire to something, not just retire. Because if you're retiring from something versus retiring to something, it's very, very different. So they were retiring from the Navy and they didn't last more than 2 years, Jack, because they didn't have anything to do. So if we're retiring to something, what happens is that focus and that energy goes away from me worrying about necessarily maybe screwing up what I'm doing here in terms of the transition. And I'm focusing my time and energy now on, you know, what am I doing next? And if I focus on what I'm doing next, I can get excited about that, right? So it could be something as simple as the traveling and the golf. I mean, again, we aren't poo-pooing those things. We're saying, hey, you know, you might want to try them out to see if they are what you think that they are, because they might not be. But again, as you're starting to kind of progress, and if those things get you excited, like we've had clients, and this is not unusual, Jack, with entrepreneurs, is they get into something else. Right. So something else might be, hey, I'm going to get into some real estate stuff and start to kind of do this. Okay, so they start to take that time and energy and their knowledge, and they start to apply it to that. And they get excited. Hey, well, being here now is holding me back. So, hey, let's make this thing happen faster so I can get out of here, so I can go over here. So again,
You gotta, get a little excited about it. It has to fit, whatever that means. It has to do it. It's customized for everyone. One size fits all.
So the idea about getting these discussions happening is because what it's going to do is it should get to the point where it becomes exciting for everybody involved, right? So it's exciting about, hey, here's what I'm going to be doing next. So I'm excited about that. If you're the one who's going to be transitioned to, okay, well, you're excited because, hey, I get the chance to now take over what I've been working towards for, whether it be for the last few years or last few decades or my entire life, to kind of be able to take this thing over. Okay, I can see it now because I know that, you know, mom or dad, whoever's there, they're on to something else. Okay, I can see that they aren't going to be in the way, and this is happening. Like, they're about, okay, so, because there's often those doubts, you know, in that next generation's mind is, well, will this ever really happen? Yeah, it sounds really good. We talk about it and it seems interesting, but I don't really believe that they're going to leave. So I don't really believe it yet, Jack. You know, again, maybe I do intellectually in my head. I say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, it's okay. But in my gut and my heart, I'm going, yeah, I don't know that it's really gonna happen.
Right. That's it.
So we gotta be aware of these third rails. We gotta be starting to talk about some of these third rails. And, you know, as you're looking at this, especially, you know, these exist day to day, obviously, but they often come to a head when it comes to something like a transition time in terms of making sure these things happen. So we've touched on a few of these. Jack, you know, did a great job, you know, in the opening here, kind of sharing some of the different areas that we can go into. We spent a lot of time talking about this whole idea of I got nowhere else to go, because that's probably a good place to start. If you're trying to figure out a place to start, that's a simple question to start with. Hey, mom. Hey, dad. So what are you going to do when this transition's done? What are you going to do day in and day out? And if they say something like, well, that's not your concern, or don't worry about that. Well, hey, I'm curious, because again, you spent so much time and effort here. How are you going to fill that time? I'm really worried about you. You know, what kind of things are you going to be doing, right? So
you got to push it a little bit. You're right. You want those conversations. They aren't easy to do, but once you start them, like anything, it's not as painful as it seems. You're just making up for lost time because you haven't been thinking about this all your life. So now you got to make that big step. And okay, are you ready for it? How do you do it? So, you know, the third rail, you certainly don't want to just blindly touch it, but quite often you do. In our case, with the business coaching, they usually come out of nowhere, because we try to screen those questions and issues right up front so we don't have an explosion. So you survive it by talking about it. I'll come back to that again. So that's a big deal, Adam. That's how you get through this. That's how you survive. Not so much you survive by not touching the third rail.
You've probably gotten this far without touching it, but now you gotta go down there. Now there's protections again, because people repair those third rails, Jack, on the track, right? So, you know, they are repaired. It's a matter of handling it the right way. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here. So that's how you touch those third rails and survive, especially when it comes to a transition, is you handle it in the right way. And you have to start having, you know, some of these conversations. So yeah, that's kind of what we wanted to kind of cover today, in terms of just kind of giving you guys some insight to that. Because again, we know it's a common challenge. And if you aren't sure where to start, that's a great place to start. And again, if you think about, you know, one of our favorite movies, Officer and Gentleman, I got no place else to go, right? That's what we're talking about here, that you need to have that. And you can even bring that up, you know, and try to have a little bit of fun with this. But we got to have these discussions to talk about in order to make sure that we're aware of, and then we can survive that third rail.
Correcto. That's it.
All right. So that's our show for this week. Appreciate you all being part of it. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. You can also get them at our Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you have a smart device of some type and kind, you can go to your favorite podcast player, whether it be iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it might be, and you can subscribe to our show right there. We usually drop a new episode every Thursday. If you could leave a review, that'd be fantastic as well, as I'd like to hear from folks. If you have some comments or thoughts you want to share with us, you can do that by emailing us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. Hey, next week, Jack, we're going to be switching over to the topic, one of the things that we love talking about, which is relates to buying companies. But in particular, we're going to talk about how do I find a company to purchase, right? Hey, I'd love to buy a company, Jack, but I'm not sure where to go look and find these things. So where do I go to find a company to purchase? So we'll kind of dig into that a little bit next week in our show.
Good one. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good, Adam.
All right, everybody. Again, thanks for listening. It was great speaking with you this week, and we'll be back with you next week.
You got it.